The Corian Football Club podcast is kindly sponsored by the Lodge Hotel, famous for food, functions, and fantastic value.
Hello, welcome once again to the Corian FC podcast. Easter has come and gone. April Fool's Day has come and gone. The whole lot. I don't know what we're going to do now. We're heading towards the summer, so we may start looking forward to that. As ever, we start by thanking our very kind sponsors, Corian's Lodge Hotel, for their ongoing sponsorship. And just to let you know, one of the things that the Lodge does is organise individual wedding show arounds, appointments for engaged couples who would like to have a look at the Lodge Hotel's venue and facilities for weddings. So if you or your partner is thinking of getting married anytime soon, why not call the wedding team at the Lodge Hotel or email the management and they will help sort you out. Johnny, thankfully you and I are past all that. We are both happily married, not to each other, I hasten to add, in case anybody doesn't know us. But we are, yes, happily married. We don't need to do that. So, but apart from that, how are you?
Yeah, we've already made that mistake, Damien, haven't we? So,
no, Jonathan, I'm not getting drawn into that. I didn't say that.
That's what you said off air. Yeah, all good, Damien. Sort of another weird week without football and without football over Easter, really. So, yeah. Spent a bit of time watching more on the TV than I do in person, so didn't really enjoy it. But listen, it's just one of them things, one of them freak years where Easter's what, reasonably early, yeah. And international call-ups and Irish Cup semi-finals and everyone else. So yeah, a bit strange, but you know, it's one of these things that, you know, life goes on, and sure, we've got a match on Saturday to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point that you make. Over Easter and Corian had no game. I mean, for me, it seems very strange. I think in previous years, somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but it would have been the case that maybe you had a game on the Saturday and then another game on the Easter Tuesday, for example. And as you say, this year we didn't have any. Between call-ups, international call-ups, Irish Cup semi-finals, of which Corian weren't involved, obviously. But it was a strange scenario, and you can't help but think, you know, that somehow the club missed out, maybe in terms of finance and money. If you had a big game on at home on an Easter Tuesday, people are off on holidays, etc. You know, there's maybe an opportunity missed to make a few pound there.
100%, and it's a bit like Christmas, I suppose, with Boxing Day. You come out with your family. I suppose it's the same as Easter Tuesday. So, yeah, look, just one of the things that happened, unfortunately, and yeah, I know you'd have been happy enough because Leeds Inc. were on Good Friday and Easter Monday, so that gave you a bit of entertainment. But no, on a serious note, I do think that, you know, the Saturday and the Tuesday, you're probably more or less going to be at home at least one of the two games, so it's going to be a really, really good gate. So, yeah, look, say no blame towards anyone. It's just one of the things where it's just how the schedule worked and Easter and international call-ups and everyone else. So, and yeah, look, people could argue that if we'd have beat Cliftonville and on Irish Cup run, we would have played in Easter Saturday anyway, so, or Saturday around Easter. So, yeah, look, strange feeling. But at the end of the day, look, we've five big games now, and hopefully there's seven if we can get European playoff final. So, look, I'm sure in a couple of weeks' time, we'll not be too worried about not playing over Easter. So, gives the boys an extra week's rest and everyone else.
Well, that's true as well. You've got to look at it on the bright side, that, you know, anybody that is carrying any kind of knock or whatever, and it just helps Warren and the coaching team just to sort of devise a plan for the next five games. I just recording on the Wednesday, there were two outstanding games on the Tuesday night. Cliftonville were at home to Larne, Linfield were away to Carrick Rangers. Now, Carrick had to win, I think, was by five clear goals against Linfield to overtake Corian into the top six. And I seen a tweet from you, Johnny, and I thought it was quite funny. It must have been obviously early on in the Carrick game, because Carrick Rangers did score quite early in that game to go 1-0 up. and a lecture tweed. I mean, was there a bit of a sweat on at that stage?
To be honest, Damien, there wasn't. I was trying to be a comedian, so you laughed at it. So at least
well,
it made you laugh.
I was taking pity on you, really.
Aye, well, that's the other way of looking at it. But I think the job was done when we got the point against Dungannon. But yeah, I think for Carrick, they probably, you know, maybe not be a weird one. Maybe it would have been a weird one in terms of they all might want to finish seventh. I'm not too sure if Loughgall, Glavin, if they finish seventh, they would be involved in the playoff. I haven't had that confirmed yet. I don't know if Loughgall applied for a European license, and there's maybe a wee bit of doubts around Stephen McDonald in terms of him having a pro license, but I'm sure all that will come out. So Carrick obviously had their own sort of agenda as the Linfield, and listen, Carrick's a tough place to go, so to go 1-1 and they run out 3-2 winners, it's a good result for Linfield. And yeah, that title race is going to come down to them too now, obviously, with Loughgall against Cliftonville. So yeah, it'll be from afar, it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, at this stage, I think it's quite safe to assume that it's a two horse race for the title. Larne on top currently, and Linfield, and last night's defeat for Cliftonville against Larne effectively rules them out of it. I don't see any way back, and I did happen to watch the Larne Cliftonville game last night, and whilst Cliftonville obviously got through in the Irish Cup on the Saturday, they were really second best last night. Having said that, they had a couple of really good opportunities, and Rowan Ferguson produced a couple of really good saves. But overall, watching the game, I just thought Larne were just too strong, too powerful for Cliftonville, and really, I suppose, ended up deserving winners.
Can't argue with your summary of that game, to be honest. I think Cliftonville looked a wee bit leggy as well, to be honest. Even I thought Larne just looked fitter, fresher, a bit more hungrier. And yeah, look, I think scoring really, really, really helped them. And yeah, look, I think if you were to ask Cliftonville fans honestly on Saturday, would they rather win the Cup semi-final or the league game, I think the majority would have said the Cup game, because even if they had beaten Larne, I think they're maybe still 4 points behind going into the split. So yeah, look, I think a win apiece probably suits both teams in terms of both competitions. And I know they wouldn't have looked at it like that, but I think deep down, probably both of them will be happy enough. And yeah, it keeps Larne's momentum going. They don't concede very many goals. And you mentioned Rohan Ferguson. Had they looked at him twice with the haircut he got? He looked like Fabian Barthez in nets. But he made a couple of really, really good saves. I think one from Wilson and maybe one from Gormley or one of the heels. So
yeah, it was one of the heels, I think. Yeah.
So I think Cliftonville looked a wee bit leggy. Larne were probably a wee bit more fresher and fitter. And but the bit between their teeth, and Andy Ryan's second goal was what a goal.
Right.
Good player, smart, intelligent. And yeah, so that keeps that title race ticking along between them and Linfield. And I'm sure Cliftonville will be looking to finish the season. And I think they need one more positive result. They definitely qualify for Europe. And then all eyes for them will be on the cup final.
I know you're talking about Larne and Ferguson and not conceding many, and I happen to have the table here in front of me, and you know they've conceded 17 goals in the league this year in 33 games. I mean, that is great. Just to put it into perspective, right, and I know it's not going to be an easy listen for people, like, they've conceded 17 goals, and by comparison, Korean have conceded 57 goals. You know, therein lies.
You can't really argue that, I think. Look, there is no argument, I suppose, if you are looking for not an excuse, we speak, I think. You know, Larne's back five, you know, who is going to be every week. Ferguson, Cosgrove,
Bulger.
Bulger, Williams, Donnelly, and Ives. And I know they've lost Ives there now, but they've Sean Graham to come in there. So they sort of have a settled back four, back five. Whereas Corian's, it's been a lucky dip, so to speak. So I think our three keepers have probably played near enough the same amount of games between Deansey and Marty and Rory. And then the back four, back five, back three, you just don't really know. And I'm not making that as an excuse, but you can see how a cohesive unit can make a big difference. And fair play to Larne. You don't defend from the back two, you defend from the front. And Bonus and Ryan putting a good shift too, and Leroy Miller and the guys like that. So, goals win you games, and defences win you titles, apparently. So they'll be looking to use their lag of conceding goals as a big, big plus going into the last five games.
It is. Although Bulger, I did see he did limp off last
he
year.
He limped off, and I know Sean Wundt's been struggling with, I think it's a hamstrings and knee injuries this year, and I think he's a cracker player too. So I was watching that game last night, and I'm sitting there thinking, how are you many score against them two absolute man?
Big boy Williams.
I think near the touchline, Ronan Hills bounced off him, nearly went
that's
into,
right.
Nearly went into the waterworks. So, but now nah, listen, yeah, we'll let them two slog out and worry about ourselves.
Yeah, and of course, as a result of last night's two games, then we had an email. All the press had an email this morning from our good friends at the at Niffle, Neil Coleman, and Niffle guys, and the post split fixtures have all been confirmed and everything else. And Corian begin their top six split or games at home to Cliftonville this Saturday. Difficult for Cliftonville, maybe in the wake of last night's game and the way that they were sort of defeated last night. Could you argue for Korean is it a good time to be playing Cliftonville, perhaps?
Yes, I know that Cliftonville is never an easy game. Our recent record against them hasn't been very, very good. Let's be perfectly honest. And yes, they did look leggy last night, to be honest. But at the end of the day, Damien, they know they need one more win to qualify for Europe. And they'll be doing everything they can to do that. And then obviously, look, they'll not be throwing any games around the gap there, but all their attention will be mostly going towards the cup final. So, and they want to go in good form in that as well. So, no, look, I don't think there is ever a good time or a bad time to they play them. At the end of the day, you know, we're in a decent, quite a wee decent money run of form as well. So, and we'll want to have momentum heading in their own sort of own agenda, which is the playoffs. So, I think all the games we know in the end of the season will all have different permutations and different things to look at. And for Corian, it's trying to go into them playoffs in a bit of good form.
Yeah, five games unbeaten, I think Corian are currently. And I know from speaking to some of the guys in the team and the squad, I think maybe Stevie O'Donnell mentioned it to you in one of his interviews as well, that perhaps in previous years, Corian have been going into the post-split, maybe not in the greatest of form, whereas this year, a lot of players haven't played a lot of football, are still relatively fresh, given the extent of the season, whereas other teams, maybe their players are starting to show a bit of fatigue. Some of Corian's players who haven't played enough lot of games are fresher, and that may stand to them in the latter part of the season.
You're hoping so, and Stevie made a good point, and I always have the end of the season stats in terms of how many appearances people made. That's how sad I am. So, but the other thing, they combine the two, between this season and last season in terms of the big hitters, you know, your leaders, your Chevys, your Georges, Stevie Larry, Stevie O'Donnell. So, be interesting just to see how many games they've played between each season. but yeah, look, I think you'd like to think that there's a bit of hunger in them boys too. You know, they've missed a lot of football, and at the end of the day, they've all played in Europe, and they'll all want to do that again. So, and the new guys too. Can you imagine you're a Jack Scott or a Jamie or a Rory both coming back, and within 6 months you've guided Corey into Europe and given them a bit of bounce going into pre-season. And again, look, you could chat the whole podcast itself about what next season's going to look like. I don't know, you don't know, probably Warren doesn't know, you know, so there's all different things. So yeah, look, I think, to be honest, Damien, between now and the first game of next season, I think it's going to be you don't even know what it's going to look like. We'll probably play at the showgrounds and play in blue and white. That's probably the only thing that you can say is a surety. So yeah, it's going to be
awesome. I suggest you cancel your holiday plans for the summer just in case, because I have a feeling it could be a busy couple of months for you in the media department.
I think it will be, to be honest. And you know, I was actually chatting to Warren not so long ago, and I said I think it's going to be a busy few months, and he just sort of laughed and sort of agreed. So yeah, look, I think it's one of the things with all the industry, I suppose. And yeah, in terms of the club, it's going to be a whirlwind now next few months. But listen, we've got the investment, we've got people in place, you know, Simon's involved now, we've got different people and different, you know, Clem does the commercial and different things like that, so all them guys will be busy, and sure, that's what it's all about. And yeah, try and do as well off the pitch as on the pitch.
Yeah, and you know, I tell you, given the season that it has been on the field in particular, we all know we don't have to go back over old ground, but it's been ultimately, I suppose, a bit of a disappointing campaign on the pitch with results, etc. But the season is a good bit to go. Yeah, is the business end of the season, and I'm just wondering, you know, how big an achievement would it be if Corian were to qualify for Europe, given the nature of the campaign? I mean, how they actually ended up getting into the top six, you would sometimes wonder, given that, I mean, that horrid run of games, you know, not so long ago. But where would that rate if they were to even get into Europe at the end of the season?
I'm sure I probably bore our listeners anyway, but I probably bore them in the same line in terms of it is an unofficial trophy when you think about it. Well, you know, qualifying for Europe in terms of the playoff, it is a mini.
It is. You know, it's right up there, isn't it?
You know, you think of the money, you get more money for that than you do winning the League Cup. Yes, it's not a trophy, and I fully respect that, but the monies that come from that and the prestige of playing in Europe and testing yourself, and if you go through your round, you double your money. And listen, football is a money. Yes, you what you care about,
business.
But the money business as well. So, yeah, it would be if you think you haven't won in 7 games yet, you still qualify for Europe. You know, it would be an absolute turnaround in fortunes. And fair play to the players if they do it; they would deserve a massive pat on the back. And I think they deserve it anyway. Yes, Corey should always be qualifying for the top six as a minimum. But with the season they've had, and everyone else is credit for getting in the top six, but now really the work starts now to try and go into them two or three, whatever many games it is, two, you'll be two, with, you know, with a big confidence behind you and as much momentum as possible, and everyone fit and firing, ready to go.
It's probably not. Do you know at this stage where the permutations, or do we have to wait to see who wins the Irish Cup? For example, say like the top two teams, and then there's 3, 4, 5, and 6 in Queens. Is it too early to determine who plays who? Do we have to wait?
Glentoran have to be perfect to leapfrog Cliftonville on the third, which I don't think is going to happen. So we roll the top three out straight away.
Right.
As all in Europe. And then that will leave Glentoran, say Glentoran are fourth, or yeah, Glentoran fourth, Crusaders fifth, us sixth, and Carrick seventh.
Yeah.
Glentoran will be at home to Carrick, and we will be away to Crusaders, and the winner will play Glentoran win. The winners will be away to Glentoran. If Carrick will win, the winners will be at home to Carrick. So obviously, the higher you are in the league, you've home advantage. So
okay.
Again, I've heard rumours maybe that if Loughgall or Glenavon finish seventh, they can't even go into the European playoff. I have heard that, but again, that's not for, you know, that's not confirmed.
And what would happen in that scenario? I know you maybe
There would just be two games, so the winners of Crusaders and Corian will be away to Glentoran.
Right.
But then Crusaders could catch Glentoran. I think there's only 2 or 3 points between them, is there?
There is 1 point.
Aye, 1 point. So, you know, Crusaders will have an edge. You know, they'll want to finish fourth and get no matter what happens. If they win their first game, they'll be at home for the playoff.
Yeah, that's an incentive in itself, isn't it?
That's why I say there's all different permutations in that.
Yeah, that's what I guess there was a lot of permutations, and it was difficult. It's just hard for punters just to work out.
It is. I think as well. Look, I think Niff have been great, and I've always said that. I think this week, in terms of, yes, you had an inkling of who you're going to play, but I know David Jeffrey made a comment on this last night in the BBC. I think maybe I know it's hard too, because it's the last game before the split. And yes, could you imagine only 2 goals between Carrick and Corey and stuff like that? I think they go in the. You only have your fixtures confirmed by really Tuesday night for a game of Saturday. I think maybe a wee bit more planning. Yes, you knew you were going to play Cliftonville and stuff like that, but it's just one of them things. And listen, it's been a weird sort of Easter, and as we said at the start of the programme. So yeah, all the different permutations, it's gonna be I don't think we're going to finish any higher than sixth, let's be honest. It's gonna be a 3 or 4 way battle to finish seventh. And then it's obviously going to come down to Glentoran and Crusaders, who's going to finish fourth. So it's going to be interesting to see. We've won at Glentoran this year. We've taken a battering at Glentoran this year. We've won at Seaview. We've drawn at Seaview. And Carrick.
Yeah.
We haven't beaten them yet this season. So all different types of games you could play and things like that. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens.
It will be. The only, I suppose, from a club financial point of view, from I'm thinking of like maybe somebody like Simon who's in behind the scenes, or post split fixtures. I think we have three at home. Two away. But unfortunately, the two away are the two teams that are going for the title. So you would have had good gates with Linfield coming to the Showgrounds and also Larne coming on the final. I think it's the final day, I think it is. Yeah. But so it's just, I suppose, the luck of the draw that we missed out on a couple of really big sort of potential paydays there.
Yeah, the other side argument would be is we've already had them twice at the Showgrounds at different seasons. So, yeah, it all just works out differently, I suppose. But, yeah, we've got, we'll be at home for Stephen Baxter's last away game, I think. I think Crusaders at home last game of the season, are they?
The Crusaders are away at Glens.
So there you go. So we don't even have his last game away. So, yeah, it'd be weird seeing Stephen Baxter, for example, at the Showgrounds for the last time as Crusaders manager. Cliftonville, they know, a win on Saturday against them Europe. And then obviously we've Glens who will be looking to finish fourth. So all the home games we have matter. It's not as if the season's just ended for everybody. And then obviously Larne and Linfield speak for themselves because we're both there.
Yeah.
Obviously it'd be nice to have one of them at home, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day we've had them twice at home already. So have to take our due diligence or our top one, so to speak, and just go with and play them away from home.
Yeah, all big games, you know, as you rightly point out, all the teams have something to play for. So there are no easy games. It's just looking there, and I know that it's one of the vagaries of the fixture list, et cetera, but you can't help but notice on the final day of the league season, it's Linfield and Cliftonville, and then the week after, it's Linfield and Cliftonville in the Irish Cup.
Linfield at home the last game, are they?
So
that's interesting. Very, very. I know Linfield the year, there's one year they won the league at Cliftonville in the last game of the season, and I think they beat us in the Irish Cup final the following week as well. So they've got good memories of maybe winning the league when they've played Cliftonville. So yeah, look, there's so many different, you know, they've gone to war on Friday night, I think, or Saturday night. So there's so much football to be played, and it'll be interesting to see from afar and in terms of what happens. And yeah, it's one of them things, and we'll see what happens. And even the bottom, you know, Ballymena and Uri. And first thing for Barry Gray, I was absolutely got it when I read that.
Yeah.
And I know the club have put out a statement as well, wishing them the best, and I suppose we do as well. And yeah, look, football probably takes a back burner, really, when you think about things like that. So, so fingers crossed it makes a speedy recovery. And I've said this before in the podcast, I love Barry Gray because he just says how it is. If the team has been SHITE, he will say they've been SHITE after a match. So
he certainly would. He wouldn't hold back.
Maybe that might spur the new players on to do it for him and things like that. And yeah, I'm sure the mid's probably a wee bit low there, just in terms of everything. So, just fingers crossed that everything goes well for Bahrain. They've got a lot of big games coming up as well. I think they play Balmines on the 20th, and maybe the second split game or the third split game. So, yeah, all them games down there are all something they play for as well.
Yeah, I would just reiterate what you just said there and back up what you said about Barry Gray. And I think, excuse me, everybody in football would wish Barry well. You know, as you say, he's had a lot of kind messages and of support, and it just shows you the measure of how popular he is within the game, that so many people from so many different clubs have sent him their best wishes, and hopefully he does get everything, all the treatment and everything that he needs. As you say, you know, there's only 2 points. Newry have 17 and Ballymena are second bottom with 19. They meet, I think it's the penultimate weekend, last weekend, Ballymena are at home to Newry. But got to say, Johnny, like the championship, you know, you have to have an eye on the championship. And Portadown won last night.
Yeah, I think they've won, is it 5 in a row now in the league? I think they've just got the afterburners on. And I was actually on another podcast as well recently, and how they've won a couple of games. They beat Bangor last kick of the game, and they beat someone else in the last kick of the game at home. So how they've won, they've probably used the momentum from that. And I just think they'll kick on and win the league, and they said that as well. And be interesting then to see, well, Dundee, if they finish second, there's still going to be a playoff. Whoever finishes third between Stuart and Bangor. So for me personally, I think whilst I don't want to disrespect Dundee, I think the league and the pyramid and how it is, it should be a one up, one down, and there should be a playoff. I think that's how it should be, you know. And yeah, I don't want to offend anyone. Dundee, they win the league, they fully deserve it. If they finish second, they fully deserve it. But I do think, I just don't think you should finish bottom or second bottom and not be, you know, face a relegation or be relegated. I just don't agree with it personally. That's my own opinion. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there in terms of Dundee. Do the players realise they're now second? They're probably not, they aren't going to go up. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. So all different permutations in that league. That league's mad. That's probably the most competitive league in probably Europe. Never mind Northern Ireland. There's going to be four teams that go up in that league. So, well, four teams that could win the league. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Bangor now react as well to that defeat.
Because it's got obviously implications for the bottom two teams in the
Newry and Ballymena both have Dundella supporters clubs in their town now. That's pure, and you know, there's not much point lying about it. Because obviously then Dundella won the league and Ballymena finished 11th, Ballymena are safe. And it'll be Newry that plays Dundella over two games. So if finished the second over two games. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
It is a real anomaly. Like, you have a team like Dundella playing in that league. Now, I just, like, what touching on what you're kind of saying there a minute or two ago, like, should Dundella not be, like, made aware of that before they start playing in the championship? Because if I was a Dundella player and I was playing my heart out every week, and we had a chance of winning the league, and then to be sort of told, no, you, even if you win, you can't get promoted. I mean, you talk about demotivation. I mean, I just don't understand how a team can play in the championship and then but not be able to go up to the next level.
Yeah.
I just find that really, really, really strange.
Yeah, like, I think they strip it all back. Like, obviously, football in Northern Ireland is absolutely nowhere near the money levels of all the top leagues, but I just think it's a bad look for the league maybe as well. Nothing against Dundella, because I actually feel for Dundella, because there's 4 meters the pitch. Yeah, they can host Glentoran in an Irish Cup tie, or host Austin League Cup tie, or host Larne in the County Machine. Yeah, they can't play. I know rules are rules, and I respect that. But to me, for 4 meters, like, to me, it's bonkers. And I've said that as well. And I actually feel for Dundella in that situation over 4 meters. It's not as if it's sounding absolutely mental. So again, rules are rules, I suppose, as well. Yeah, it's an interesting one. It really, really is. But at the same time, look, and I made this argument as well, if Dundee have to go on and win that league with the players knowing they can't go up, that shows the absolute character they have in their team too. That they can go and do something so successful without reaping the end reward.
But if you're a Dundee player, and even if you did win the league, and you could... What would you do? Would you stay at Dundella, or would you think, I got to go and play in the top league?
Yeah, there's probably an argument with that, Damien, where if Dundella won the league and their players have excelled, they should be confident enough that a team in the Irish League will pick them up then. You know?
Yeah, but that hurts Dundella. You can imagine if Dundella happened to win that league,
yeah,
and they couldn't get promoted, I would imagine there may be an exodus of players out of Dundella, because why would you kind of stay at Dundella if you can't go anywhere else, if you can't get any higher?
Yeah.
Then Dundella are kind of getting punished for it, almost, in a way.
Yeah, they are. And that's just, unfortunately, that's just football. And you look at Reece Annett, the place for Linfield, and the wee boy Mackay left, but they both signed from Dundella. You know, Dundella are probably in that position where, you know, we signed Eamon Fife off them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably at that position where, I don't want to sound disrespectful, but because not a feeder club, so we speak, but
no,
if their players excel, like, they're going to probably just move on. The same as probably any championship club. You know, the amount of players we take from Stuart in the years and things like that, and that's just, unfortunately, you know, the nature of the beast. You know, if you're a good player in a championship in England,
yeah,
like, they're going to be signed up by a team in the Premier League, and that's just, it's just a higher level, and that's just how it is.
It's just the nature of the beast. I know it. You can't help feeling it's a bit cruel, like, because, like, Loch Gall came up from the championship, and they're sitting there in seventh place, having had a wonderful season, and you just think that opportunity is denied to Dundalk.
I can't argue against that, because Loughall have been an absolute breath of fresh air, and it's been great having somebody new, I suppose, and look how well they've done. And yeah, who knows, Dundalk could have come up and surprised everyone and done the same. And because of 4 meters in the pitch, I actually do feel sorry for them. I genuinely do. And because of over 4 meters, they can't come up. So, and I know people say rules are rules and all that nonsense. Well, not nonsense, they are rules, but yeah, it's just one of them things that they just can't come up.
Yeah, I mean, Loughall, you mentioned there, have done really well. The big test for them now will be next season.
Yeah, you know, the second season.
It's all good doing it this season. Now, the real acid test is that second season syndrome, if you like.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I'm sure Dean will be well aware of that. And who knows, if they finish, you know, as high up as 7th or 8th or whatever it may be, that they can maybe attract, you know, a certain type of player, knowing that, you know, they've had a year behind them. And yeah, I phoned them after they preserved their top flight status the other week. And he was like, everyone tipped us to go down. Every reporter said we would go down, including you and all this. And he was getting at and stuff like that. And he was like, look, he says, a lot of people gave us a bit of stick because we never signed a lot of players. He says, but I had full faith.
They didn't sign anybody, really.
He says, I had full faith in the player that I had. And, you know, and that's quite refreshing as well. So, yeah but I do get your point. Next season for them is, and it'll be interesting to see if Loughall probably nearly don't want Portadown to go up because of the location in terms of getting players and things like that. So, but yeah, look, that's for the wise people at Loughall. They sort of sort it.
I mean, my fear for Loughall would be that they might lose some players in the summer. You know, some of the other Premiership clubs have obviously been keeping an eye on Loughall this year, and obviously Benji McGee is in everybody's lips, and I think Loughall will do well to hold on to some of their players, including the likes of a Benji McGee.
Yeah, of course they will, and I think Benji McGee's been heavily linked with the Glens. I think he's from East Belfast as well, and was at them as a young boy, but they've got a really good link with Huddersfield in England as well, and it wouldn't surprise me if Benji McGee went to England as well, because he's playing for Northern Ireland under-21s now, scoring a lot of goals in the top flight, and I think he's only, under 21. I think he is actually of the age of 21, but within a certain age group to play for Northern Ireland at that level. So, be interesting too. But like, I like Tiernan Kelly plays middle of the park as well, and they've got a lot of good players. But at the same time too, they just might enjoy playing for Loughall and the locality of it, and they've been there for a long time, and they've got a good structure there, and Big Ferris and Hoy and guys like that. So, they could be linked, but they might just not want to go in.
True. Money talks, though.
Of course, that's why you're paid. That's why you host the show, Damien, and I'm just the co-host. You know, you pay the big bucks. I'm your skippy.
If only. That's something that we have to bring up with the new executive, the new board at Korean Football Club. I think renegotiate.
Go from nothing to nothing. I think Loughall, as we spoke about there, it's probably another big summer for them and everyone else to prepare for next year. But listen, they've got the experience of it. They've done really, really well, and they've been a credit to the league, and fair play to them. I think they'll be all right as well next season.
I think they will as well, actually, because Dean Smith knows what he's doing, and he has them playing really well. Looking ahead, you just mentioned about the summer, and you said you were talking to Oran recently there and stuff. And I suppose he's got a big summer ahead of him too. You know, the transition that we've talked about on the podcast previously, this transition to what you might call a full-time model. I don't know how far down the road Korean are going to end up going in terms of full-time, but, you know, there's a big summer ahead there for Oran and the coaching staff and the club in terms of personnel as well. I mean, talking about ins and outs.
Yeah, it's going to be a summer for absolutely everybody involved with Korean. Whether you're, you know, Oran, or, you know, you work in the medical department, whether you work in the social club or whatever, it's just going to be absolutely mental, I think, this summer, because everything changes. You know, you're going to drive by the showgrounds on the Monday morning, you're going to see cars outside and players training. You know, you're going to need more staff for that. You're going to need like a chef, a nutritionist. I know obviously Junior's been in as a nutritionist and strength and conditioning and things like that. There's just going to be so many different things. And yeah, for Oran personally, yeah, I'm sure he's been working hard in terms of, you know, agreeing new contracts for players and things like that. And, you know, and to coaching staff, we don't know. You know, I think Oran probably has to make a decision about his own future and everything else. So yeah, there's so many different things that they're just probably just going to have to take time in terms of being released and things like that. So yes, it's I wouldn't say a nervous time, it's one of my I would just love to have a crystal ball and see what everyone looks like and say the 5th of August next or in the summer here when the season next season gets underway in terms of where we've been at and what we're doing, what the team looks like and who's in the dugout and you know what the players have been doing at training on a Monday morning and things like that. So no, it's exciting too, I suppose.
And it is, and like both of us have worked enough closely with Oran to know that he likes to get stuff done early as well.
Oh,
so,
the most meticulous man,
you know,
and I say this to everybody and it probably comes from being a teacher as well, and you know you don't get as far in the game in terms of what he's done if you're not meticulous, and he'll leave no stone unturned and everywhere else. So no, I think as I said this before, I don't know what Orange plans are for next season in terms of you know if he stays at Corey and just continues to be a teacher. I honestly do not know. But I hope for him, and I've said this to him, that I hope he stays, and I think he deserves a crack at leading Corey in as a full time manager. I've said that to him to his face. Not too sure he listened. I said that to him, and because at the end of the day we've only went full time with how well he's done before and off the pitch really in the last 5-6 years, and that's been under his management. So I think he deserves a good rattle at it.
Mad how it brings his own pressure too, doesn't it?
You know, it does. But he's had that
that's the other side of the coin.
He's had that pressure for 12 years. Yeah. But people don't realise as well that Oran's been a manager since he was 27. You know, I think Oran's 46. If I've given him a couple of extra years, I will get a clip around the ear. But I think he is around that age. So, you know, he's been a manager for nearly 20 years. So he's played for Linfield. He's been used to the pressure. And
that's mad, like.
You know, so, you know, at the end of the day, I'm sure the same boy, once he feels the pressure, he's been used to it. And he knows how to deal with it.
Yeah, indeed. Aye, listen, he's been in the game long enough and he knows what he's doing. So, we'll wait and see, Johnny. You'll be the first to know, obviously, before anybody else. So that's always nice. Like, listen, we had Kyle on last week, Kyle McVeigh, on the podcast, went down very well. Great to have Kyle on. I suppose he was like always an unsung hero of Korean Football Club, really, in many regards. And, played for a long time at the back and got on with his job, and it sort of got me thinking, Johnny, just during the week there as well, just about defenders, you know, at the club, etc. And I know one time before we had sort of looked like sort of top 10 of games and stuff, and then it got me thinking about sort of defenders and sort of, so I mean, any thoughts on sort of top defenders at the your time and watching Korean?
So we've done this before in terms of our top 10 games, so it's good to always have a wee theme every now and then and get people engaging and thinking. So yeah, I wrote down about 15 names here, so just say everyone in a couple of lines in each, and it's very, very difficult because I took my first match in 96, so realistically, remembers 2002 onwards, really. So Stephen O'Donnell written down, obviously club captain. I think the leadership.
That's because you're scared not to put him down, aren't you?
Well, he does listen to the podcast, so he would be at me. Yeah, so he's been written down. Hopefully he's a wee bit more quieter on Sunday.
Yeah,
listen, I think since he's come in, you know, it's leadership, and you do miss him, and what we've been on under Stevie in terms of, you know, Europe and Irish Cup and League Cup and everything else. And Paul Gaston down, regular speaks for himself, some amount of goals for a defender. I've Aaron Canning written down. What a player. Just obviously just a shame that I didn't see more of it. Such an intelligent player. Flip me, what a player he is, or he was.
He reminds me,
I honestly don't think Snowy knew how good he was.
No. It's like you hear people say about footballers, like he's a Rolls Royce of a footballer.
He's so intense.
And he kind of was that kind of player.
I've got my written down, look, obviously the career that he had, won the Irish Cup, his only senior medal that he has in football. So, only play for Northern Ireland. I've Garth McConaghy written down as well. Again, came from Durbuck, you know. Not too many people, I'm sure, in Irish Cup have heard of him, apart from obviously local football. Man of the match in the Irish Cup final. So,
That's right.
Lyndon Keane, obviously still playing for us. Very, very good player. Plays in midfield as well, which maybe wouldn't say tarnishes in terms of being a defender because he's played the majority of his career as a fullback, and I still think fullback's probably his best position against certain opposition. Stuart Glenahan, again, steady Eddie at the back, local boy. I've actually written down Aaron Traynor here. Left back was always a troublesome position, I think, since we won the Irish Cup final. You think there's two assists he had, one in Europe and one in the Irish Cup final?
That one in the Irish Cup final for Darren McCauley's goal.
I have two written down here, very similar, because they're two local lads. I have actually John Neal and Adam Mullen written down. Neal, probably both different types in terms of careers with Corey. And I think, obviously, John Neal was steady Eddie and he's there for the dark times and everyone else. And Adam Mullen, I think...
And a decent keeper, too.
I sometimes got the goalie gloves on. And Adam Mullen, I think, is one of those underrated players. And whenever he was on form for Corey in the centre-half, him and Snowy, what a combination that was. And again, this cup final tackle, the 2-1 down, that'll be the best tackle I've ever seen. With Johnny Black written down, because he's the only man I know that scores multiple free kicks and gets decked. And one season, so again he gets written down. And then with Tossie and Kyler, again two local lads. Yeah. Tossie played, I think, everywhere, probably apart from Nets. And Kyler, that couple of years he was with Corey in at the very, very start and could have won the Lumfield, what a player he was, and the metatarsal injuries hit Kyler really, really bad as well. So yeah, they've probably left out glaring people, but
listen, do you see that's the problem, see, if you try to do that. I mean,
oh, I know. Somebody will message me.
You just set yourself up for
it's very, very hard. But those are the ones that just instantly came into my
head. Those are the ones that would come to my head straight away. Like as you say, Gaggy, like, flip me, was there a lifetime, scored a lot of goals. Big G, Gareth McCauley, I mean, flip me. Like, you know, how Crusaders let him go, like, I think Crusaders and Linfield, it was let go, or he left both of those clubs. Ended up, obviously, under Marty's wing at Corian. And you could just tell what a player he was. But the thing about him, and I remember, like, he came in, I think he was about 22, 23. And if I remember, he was a draftsman. He was, like, qualified draftsman. And he actually gave up his job to just train by himself to try and further his football career, because he wanted to try and make it as a full-time footballer. So he packed in his job and went and sort of just did extra training on his own, et cetera, et cetera. And it paid off for him. He got a move to Lincoln City, I think under Keith Alexander. He was a friend of Marty's at the time, Marty Quinn. Lincoln City, and then from there, obviously, Ipswich, Leicester, etc. Two teams that are not top of my list at the minute, Ipswich and Leicester. That's another story. But I mean, what a player. I think, as you say, Kyler, Sheardy Clanahan, another one played under Marty as well. Him and Marty used to have great words with each other. Like, Sheardy was obviously right back, and he'd have been sort of in front of Marty at the dugout, and the amount of times the two of them would have exchanged words and stuff, like, it was,
I'd say a GoPro would have been
funny. Sturdy was just sturdy, you know. He must have frustrated at Marty every so often, and Marty would have just lost a head with him, but some crack as well. Who else did you mention there? Snowy, I mean, goes without saying, what a player. McConaughey, Garth, Lyndon, Traynor, Johnny Neal, and Tussie. Always remember Tussie and Colin Coates. Remember that one?
Aye, like little and large.
But that was Tussie all over. Wasn't scared.
No.
You know, never back down from a conference.
There's one that's Howard Beverley.
Hey?
Howard Beverley.
You see, this is the thing.
Yeah, this is the problem.
That is. And then, but you see, you could go back as well. I remember way back, Davy Jackson, for example, you know, colossus at the heart of the Korean defense for many years. You'd like Johnny McCurdy. You couldn't mention defenders at Korean, like Johnny McCurdy and Ronnie McDowell and the other fullback. Boys like Robbie Brunton, Tony Doherty, all those guys, Liam Beggett. Don't, couldn't forget about him. He'd be on to you if you forgot about him. And of course, John Devine.
I mean, yeah, big John.
You maybe don't remember that. I mean, John Devine.
There's a photo of me and John Devine. I have as much hair as he does.
John Devine was like a Glentoran legend and had played for like 10, 11 years at the Oval. Won the Northern Ireland Footballer of the Year award and some other award. At the end of one season, and then ended up promptly at Corian the next. He couldn't resolve a contract at the Glens and ended up at Corian. This was like the early 2000s, I think it was. And as chance would have it, I think the first game the next season was Corian home to Glentoran. And the Glentoran away end and all the Glentoran fans were there, and all they had was all this like fake Monopoly money waving at them and stuff. Obviously, they were insinuating they'd move for more money and stuff. But I mean, he was a player too.
Yeah, I remember reading into that and a few books as well. I think Hunter's book maybe touches on that. So, and Jerry Flynn too. I'm sure, probably Jerry also.
Jerry Flynn, yeah.
Corian as well. So yeah, there's so many names that'll hit out at me, you know, you always say in the next couple of weeks in terms of there's somebody will send me a message, a few defenders and stuff like that. So
I know, but we're not doing a definitive list by any stretch. We're just throwing a few names out there. That's your excuse, Johnny. And anybody that has any ideas of other defenders perhaps that we didn't mention, they can obviously hit you up on social media or on the website or in the forums or wherever they want to, Johnny. Isn't that right?
That's right. I just blame Damien. Don't blame me. And
Hashtag blame Damien. That's okay. I've big shoulders. I'm used to it. I can deal with that. So, but just when you mentioned all like those players that we're talking about, and it just gives you an idea of like defenders, like sometimes they get overlooked as well. There's another one that just came into my head, big Mark McKendy.
Big Mark, yeah, he was near it. To be fair, Mark was probably more useful up front, to be fair to him. I don't want to be a bit offensive to him, but I think he was nearly a wee bit more influential up front with Leon.
He was very good up front.
He was very good up front, and I mean that. So if all the defenders that we had and some really, really good strong centre halves and leaders on there, yeah. I've really, really noticed, and a few Mercurial types, you know, like a Snowy and Stuart Linehan. So there's all different types of characters, and there's like a Tussie and John Daly and Adam Holland. They'd have played anywhere across the back four. So all different type of multitude of guys in there. So no, it was good day. Good day.
We've been blessed. There's been some great ones there. Just in those few names that we came up with, there's some great players there.
100%. And I'm sure the next time we do a theme in terms of maybe midfielders or strikers, we'll be having the same issues again. Trying to think of a few that we sort of want. So.
And even our current sort of setup when we have our defence. Regular defence there with Lyndon, Stevie, and then Graham Kelly, Dean Jarvis. Not a bad back four either, is it?
Yeah, it's just getting them settled, Damien. Yeah. The main thing. Yeah. Too many times this year, we've one of them side or been suspended or moved positions. So, we've always seemingly had a good defence, and it's very rare that we can see that as many goals as we probably have this year.
A lot of reasons, but like since those players have come back and we've stabilised midfield, the goals against has drastically reduced, hasn't it?
100%. And yeah, so fingers crossed that we can keep the back door shut as best as we can between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, actually, looking forward to the end of the season now. Just haven't talked about the split games and what lies in store and what might be the end of it. Yeah, kind of getting excited now. So roll on Saturday. For those maybe didn't hear at the start, Corian's first post-split game home to Cliftonville on Saturday. And Johnny, I believe that you ain't going to be there.
No, I'm in Paris on Saturday and Sunday for the Paris Marathon. So I think it'll be a wee bit more painful and potentially trying to watch you stop running hail on all the hails and Gormley's and Paulsons and stuff like that. But no, listen, I've been training for it now, so it's booked. The job's been done, the sort of the prep's been done, so it's just a case of now you just I'm trying to get it done under 4 hours. That's my target. Would love to do it.
Under four. Right. What day is it? Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday. So I think we're off at 9:30 Sunday morning, which is obviously 8:30 back at home. So get it done for 4 hours and half 12 and get a bar somewhere and watch Rangers beat Celtic second half of that, and then watch United beat Liverpool. So that'll be, I don't know what will be the most painful out of all that. So whether United losing the marathon or Rangers,
I think you're already drunk coming out with stuff like that.
So that's not what we'll see. So good weekend of football, and yeah, I don't like missing quarantine games, but it's just these things happen every day.
Yeah, you can't do anything about that, unfortunately. So, right, well, here we will let you go. Good luck with the Paris Marathon.
Cheers,
on the weekend. Good luck to your football teams as well.
Cheers,
David. May they go well. yes, indeed. Listen, guys, thank you all very much for continuing to listen to the podcast. We're getting close to the business end of the season. So it's I suppose it's head down, and in terms of the playing side of things for the players, it's just try and get a bit of form, get into the last couple of games, and then it's all to play for in the two-game playoffs. And who knows, we may have something to celebrate come the end of the year, and it could be a good season after all. So thank you all for listening. Thank you to the Lodge Hotel for their continued sponsorship of the podcast. We wish Corian well on Saturday. We wish Johnny well on Sunday. And as ever, come on the Bandsiders.